Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I just did a 35-minute taped interview with Tucker Carlson because he got here at 10 o'clock, an hour before showtime. And we're going to add a lot of video clips and documentation to what we talked about. It was a pretty amazing interview. And now he's going to be live in studio with us coming up for the balance of the hour after this first break. It is the 28th day of already February, the last day of February, 2014. I just double-taked on that. And we are going to be here for the next 3 hours. And then coming up, later in the transmission, we also have Joel Skousen on to talk about the Ukraine situation that's escalating very, very fast. You know, I want to be clear here. I don't romanticize Vladimir Putin. I don't romanticize the Russians. But it's wrong to use al-Qaeda to attack the Syrians and start a war. And so Russia was on the right side of that. And our own military agreed with that. And a lot of the Republican leadership did it, as well as Democrats, and that stopped. And it's wrong with George Soros to go in and start this revolution in Ukraine, even though I know the Ukrainians have some real issues with Russian influence in the East. I get all that. My issue is, as George Washington said, these foreign entanglements are wrong, and we have seen enough of American blood, sweat, tears, and our name being used for corporate interest, because if you look at what's happened, they've just appointed as the deputy prime minister over there a central banker who's planning to basically loot the country. So there's been some neocon attacks on us saying we're putting out pro-Russia propaganda. And I just want to respond to those people that that's intellectually bankrupt. We are against funding al-Qaeda out of Saudi Arabia to go in and blow up 500 churches or more in Syria preemptively, to turn that country over to Islamicists. Now look at Iraq, much worse than it was. Country's overrun by jihadis from both camps. Iran's there. It's a serious situation. And this is not for American interest. This is for globalist interest that all of this is going on. That's where I stand on this. And out of these political wars and economic wars and financial wars, we the people end up losing in the final equation. And so that's why I'm a libertarian who is against offensive war and offensive meddling in other countries. I'd rather deal with people through trade and through soft power, something this country had up until the 1960s. So that is all coming up today. I tell you, folks, there is just so much news that we're going to be breaking down. We're going to be talking about a ton of it with Tucker Carlson coming up. Here's a new article out right now. Syrian rebels amputate man's hand live and then tweet it. And if you look at the flag right there on DrudgeReport.com, you understand that is an al-Qaeda Wahhabist black flag. And that is a Bin Laden Brigade flag right there. Just like you learn what the Texas flag looks like, or the German flag, or the Japanese flag. The Japanese flag is a white background with a red sun, rising sun. That is a Osama bin Laden Brigade flag right there. And if you go over here, there is a Wahhabist flag right there if you're watching us on television. So that's the orgy of off-the-chart insane news that we've got. This is out of the Washington Post. Syrian extremists amputate a man's hand and live tweet it. Well, no, what they are is al-Qaeda in the al-Qaeda outfits with the al-Qaeda flags. That's about 65% of the force over there. And they are taking over the entire country. Look at this. Look at this shot out of the Washington Post where they are chopping his hand off live on television. They're putting burqas on the women's heads. They are kicking women out of college. They are literally turning the country over to a bunch of cavemen from all over the Caucasus, you name it, that have flooded in Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, you name it, to have a Saudi Arabia-funded free-for-all, and we call this a liberation. This is outrageous. But now, it's out in the open, and we told you this first, 3 years ago.
Well, the social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse.
It's a military mission in North St. Louis. Heavily armored vehicles are rolling into town.
And don't be alarmed if you see those over the next 7 days rolling through your neighborhood.
If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, do not be alarmed.
Guns will be taken. No one will be able to be armed. We'll take all weapons.
Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in.
Just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Enough. 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 Enough.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
NSTSLA News 12's Jeff Farrell discovered that clergy would help the government with potentially their biggest problem, us.
So part of it is we have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
If you've got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Mercury-containing vaccines may help not harm kids, according to two new studies in the journal Pediatrics.
Black Hawk choppers soaring through the night sky, but this is only a drill.
Heavily armed officers in Watertown search for the suspect, house to house.
Joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
In your apartment!
I am in my apartment, sir.
Go back inside,
right now?
I am inside.
I have two words for you. Predator drones. You will never see it coming.
The dramatic scene played out in front of our cameras. Parents grabbing their children and running after spending the night hunkering in their houses and then finding themselves face to face with the muzzle of a SWAT officer's rifle.
They led them in the area. They told them they could come in, and now they're coming in like they're trespassers, punching and shoving people.
We're not turning our guns in, and we're not running, and we're not backing down. If you want them, come and take them.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
This is the heart.
Well, we got a special edition for you today. We have a lot of great in-studio guests, but Tucker Carlson of Fox News is here. He also heads up one of the most successful libertarian, conservative-type news sites out there, and that's dailycaller.com that people see via Infowars.com and drudgereport.com, because so many of their stories are just right on target, breaking. The tyranny wide open. There's so much of it. Some of the stories up on Infowars.com, I see a theme today. Federal court denies First Amendment in California. You cannot wear American flag T-shirts because the illegal aliens just see red when they see them. So you're not allowed to wear those. Also, the TSA detains libertarian blogger after seeing Bitcoin in his bag. But again, we're joined in studio by Tucker Carlson to cover the waterfront. We've got Russia seeks access to bases in eight countries for its ships and bombers. Russia admits its troops are moving into the Crimea, as we reported 3 days ago. That's now confirmed mainstream news. We just covered the Russian news. Ousted president emerges at press conferences defiant, says they'll fight fascist hooligans. Look, I don't romanticize the Russians here. But at the same time, you've got Soros funding no neo-Nazi groups who've now gotten number three positions in the government, who really do wear giant swastikas around their necks. Simply amazing. That's one of the stories up on Infowars.com. U.S.-backed neo-Nazi party given key roles in Ukrainian government. And I was looking at this story this morning and going over it, McCain meeting with him a few months ago. It is simply amazing that 1 month he's meeting with Al-Qaeda in Syria to hand over Syria to him, and then the next month he's meeting with the modern official Nazi party now being put into official government positions. And their campaign slogans are blonde-haired, blue-eyed people with lightning bolts flying out of their hands like Emperor Palpatine. I mean, you cannot make this up. I'm going to cover it later after Tucker leaves us in detail. I'll read all the names, you name it. But again, if it was a real democracy move and libertarians, or it was like Poland throwing the Russians out or whatever at the end of the Cold War, I'd be all for it. This, though, is a big power struggle between the Russian corrupt system and the EU. And the EU, I think, is the more virulent of the cancers that's trying to take over the world. But Tucker Carlson is here with us. We're honored to have him. DailyCaller.com. You've heard my little intro rant here. What is your take on the situation in the Ukraine right now?
But my take, first of all, thanks a lot for having me.
That's great having you, man.
Yeah, I was in Austin. I've always wanted to meet you.
You're down here hunting?
Yes, I'm here boar hunting, and I thought no boar hunting trip would be...
That's why we got the guns out. Here, just sit there with that. It'll make you feel more comfortable. There you go.
I'm holding a rifle chambered in 7.62 and glad to be
here. That's a Navy SEALs use that. That's a Reaper.
Oh, it's fantastic. Thank you.
Would you like it? It's a gift.
I live in Washington, D.C., so I'm not even going to apply.
But it makes it more comfortable. We'll just sit here, you know.
It's fantastic.
We're celebrating Piers Morgan being bye-bye, but go ahead.
By the way, the one thing I believe in is in the Second Amendment. No, I mean, look, I'm very skeptical of a lot of so-called freedom movements in other countries. The bottom line is it's very hard to understand the dynamic on the ground outside of the United States. And so before we start giving our money, arms, prestige to various groups trying to overthrow this or that government around the world, we probably ought to know who they are and what their agenda is, and often we don't. You're seeing it right now in Syria. I'm not defending the Assad regime. I'm merely saying just because Bashar Assad is a bad guy doesn't mean the people who oppose him are good guys, and so we should pause before we start sending him weapons. But so often we don't. We just weigh in like we know what we're doing. And the blowback and the unintended consequences are sometimes profound, as you know.
And as you know, because you wrote about this last year, now they're openly in the Washington Post saying, oh, my God, Al-Qaeda got all these weapons. They may attack Europe with them. It's incredible. So the weapons out of Benghazi into Syria are already leaking all over the place.
And we have a right to know that, by the way. I mean, you know, half of what the government does seems sometimes like it's classified. And if we're arming a rebel group in Syria, you know, maybe all the details shouldn't be public, but that basic fact ought to be public, and it's not. You know, they keep it from us. And I.
What do you make of the new Washington Post article out today where the Al-Qaeda rebels with Al-Qaeda flags are chopping people's hands off because they don't follow the religious rules? And it says the extremist Syrian group deemed too radical even for Al-Qaeda. Well, wait, they have Al-Qaeda flags. They have the Wahhabist flags, are now chopping people's hands off. For not joining them.
They're savages, obviously. In the end, it seems to me our interest in other countries is stability. And so, you know, for all the talk, the irony is, for example, in Egypt, the Obama administration was talking about, you know, the right of the Egyptian people to determine their own future and to be free. So we, in effect, backed the overthrow of Mubarak. A year and a half, 2 years later, the people of Egypt are less free. The Islamists have more power. So, again, the paradox is sometimes as we pursue liberation in the rest of the world, we wind up abetting tyranny. And so we should just, like, be humble. Understand what you don't understand. Understand that there are always consequences you can't foresee. Sometimes it's better just to, you know, don't just do something. Stand there. Restraint is called for. And no one ever says that out loud because you sound weak when you say it, but it's true.
Well, saber-rattling with Iran, all the numbers show, props up the mullahs.
Exactly.
And then saber-rattling with Putin actually strengthens his position in Russia. And I just don't see how the State Department could be involved in giving top ministerial jobs in western Ukraine now, in Kiev, to known neo-Nazis.
Well, look, Cuba is the perfect example. I hate Fidel Castro and his brother Raul. I think communism is the most evil system ever devised. I truly hated the Soviet Union. I'm not defending Cuba at all. My only point is our embargo against Cuba clearly allowed Fidel to stay in power longer. So, you know, think through what you want the end result to be and then, you know, do wise things in order to bring it about. I mean, you can wind up helping people by attacking them, I guess, is the obvious point.
I want to get into GOP and the whole libertarian movement, the Tea Party, and the battle that's going on there. But one of your compadres from the Daily Caller was here, and he said that we ought to bring up the point, which is a really good question I didn't think to ask, about how Wall Street is so behind Obama and how the Republicans are behind Obama. The leadership is not wanting to repeal Obamacare. What do you think is behind that? Because that's what's making the Tea Party so upset.
Well, there's been a huge shift in American culture and American politics that people rarely mention, and that is that rich people now vote Democrat. Rich people and poor people vote Democrat. This is a broad generalization, but it's generally true, and everyone else doesn't. And so Wall Street absolutely is responsible for Obama's election, or partly responsible in 08. They supported, they financed his campaign, even to some extent in 2012. And they are united. Wall Street is united with the Democratic Party and with some of the Republican leadership on the question of immigration. Low-skilled immigration obviously raises profits for some companies. It also brings in Democratic voters. And so there is this unspoken arrangement between the two parties, the leadership of the two parties, to back what they call immigration reform, increasing not just legalizing the 12 or 13 million illegal aliens here, but in doubling the number of legal entrants, low-skilled labor into the country, because it helps both the parties. I just don't think it helps middle-class Americans at all, and I don't think there's any evidence it does.
But he's already, by fiat, legalizing most of the people and not deporting them. I saw that, I think it was in the Daily Caller just the other day, that they slashed the number of people in court that they're actually beating. You know what? Let's skip this network break. This is too important. We're going to skip that break right there. I can do that occasionally.
Because I'm on a radio show. It sounds like fun.
Well, no, it does cost the network money, but that's, you know, whatever. We do it sometimes because I just want to keep talking about this. Where do you see it all going? Because I see the elite in this country thinking short term about their profits instead of thinking long term about the integrity of the nation. I mean, this country's infrastructure, all of it is just rotting. And then government has this instinct to want to disenfranchise, get people on the dole, put them on welfare, cut their hours from 40 hours to 25 hours under Obamacare. Exactly. I mean, it really is Cloward and Piven.
Well, it doesn't make any sense at all from an economic point of view. You want immigration when you have a labor shortage. And we have the opposite of a labor shortage. We have persistent, long-term, double-digit unemployment. I don't care what the official numbers are. We have double-digit unemployment that's extended for, what, 6 years now, 5.5 years. You can't tell me that we have a labor shortage. We have just the opposite. So why are we bringing in, why are we doubling the number of legal workers? Because they work cheaper. Now, that's great for the businesses that employ them, and I understand that. I'm not attacking business. I'm merely saying it's not so great for people who already live here. The U.S. government has one job, only one job, and that's to look out for the interests and the safety of American citizens, not for people in Guatemala who want to come here, not for the, you know, striving masses around the world. It'd be nice if we could help them, but that's not our main job. Our main job is to watch out for people who are already here and citizens here, Americans. And that scheme, importing millions, literally doubling the number of legal workers here, shafts Americans because it undercuts their wages. It's really, really simple. There's no defending that.
Well, I agree with you, and the numbers are very clear. This isn't even really debatable if someone is educated about basic economics. Look at Switzerland. They don't let anybody in. Their money gains value, doesn't lose it, and they only let skilled people in, and they absolutely are the richest country in the world, highest standard of living. Versus here, as Ross Perot said, you bring in giant unskilled groups, it doesn't raise your country. It drives down the overall standard of living. We become like Guatemala or Nigeria. They don't become like us.
Well, exactly. California, where I grew up in Southern California, California, when I was a child, I'm about to turn 45, was one of the richest states in the country. It had a great school system and had great infrastructure. And one of the, and it was also, by the way, a pretty conservative state. It voted Republican in presidential campaigns. One of the reasons that all of, the main reason all of that has changed, the schools have disintegrated. It's too crowded for the infrastructure that exists. And the state has moved dramatically left. Immigration. That's the reason. The demographic balance of the state changed. It is more like Oaxaca than it used to be. I'm not attacking anybody. I like Mexican immigrants because they work hard and they don't beg, and I'm not a bigot. But it doesn't change the fact.
Doesn't change the fact that like 80-some percent vote to take my guns, and until we're able to deprogram these people, they get here and they get the, you know, the welfare. They believe the Democratic Party is for them. The Republican Party leadership goes along with it. It is literally game over, bring in an outside group to vote for Obamacare, to vote for socialism, to vote for gun control. That's why the Democrats are serious when they say they're going to turn Texas blue. They will.
Well, they'll
bring in 10 million illegals, and now you got MSNBC saying my kids belong to them, and they will come, and they will run my life.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and they are doing this with the complicit support of the Republican leadership because it benefits a small number of people. I'm not, just to be totally clear, I'm not a conspiracy nut. I don't think this is a secret conspiracy. I think it's completely out in the open. The Chamber of Commerce is lobbying for this immigration bill, and La Raza is lobbying for the immigration bill. And they have different aims, but they have the same goal, which is to increase the number of immigrants who come here. And by the way, we're at the highest level per capita of immigration in the last 100 years. We have more foreign-born Americans than any time in the last 100 years. We've absorbed an awful lot, more than a million.
It's a political takeover.
For 50 years.
And the people part of the takeover are going to have their prosperity destroyed. It's not like they're even taking over and they're going to win. They're taking over, and it's going to be Oaxaca.
Well, it's awesome for rich people. I live in an affluent neighborhood in Washington, D.C. D.C. is the richest city in America, and immigration is great for us because it's good for business, and it's awesome for people seeking inexpensive help. I mean, to be totally blunt with you. And so rich people benefit from immigration, but anybody who's not rich does not benefit from it. And so it is, in a way, an informal conspiracy against the middle. It's ordinary people do not benefit from it. They just don't. And when you press advocates on this, well, how exactly does it work that you import labor when you have an excess amount of labor? Why does that help? And they'll say, well, because you expand the economy. Really, where has that worked in the United States? And they say, well, look, it's worked in Silicon Valley. Really? Because Silicon Valley employs fewer people than it did 30 years ago. So I'm not attacking Silicon Valley. I'm merely saying that, you know, the current information and finance-based economy we have does benefit people, but it benefits as a proportion of the population, a smaller number of people, than the manufacturing economy we used to have. So Obama looks around and he's like, I'm upset about income inequality. Well, you know, you should be. because you get an unstable country when you have dramatic disparities in income. But do you understand why we have it? We have it partly, maybe largely, because of immigration.
That's right. And, of course, you know what La Raza stands for.
The race.
And my issue is, I look at the Democratic Party and the demographics, and I've always been nonpartisan, but you can see they're going to get rid of the Republican Party right now. They are making it commit suicide. The Republicans are absolutely helping in this, and I don't want to have a total one-party system. We already almost have this with these committee chairmen, but when you look at La Raza and Mecha and their slogans, for those inside our group, everything, for those outside the group, nothing, and you look at how the Democrats were anti-civil rights, anti-Civil Rights Act, anti-voting rights, up until the Republicans beat them, and people like my grandfather ran for office in Texas and won, you know, as a Republican when nobody was a Republican in the state, you know, back in the 60s. And the Democrats went from being the Ku Klux Klan party of race with Senator Byrd and all them to literally going, OK, we're going to go race politic with the minorities, make them the majority. And so basically they went and started financing Mecha, La Raza, all of the Ford Foundation. And that's why you have this new race-based system where we all have been conditioned as Republicans or as libertarians or as white people to be, oh, my gosh, we're loving, you know, we're not racist. Yes, please, you know, do whatever. I'm sorry, I'm white. Beat ourselves with whips on the head. And then meanwhile, the Democrats have just recreated the Ku Klux Klan movement, but they've done it with minorities.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. I wish there weren't. I mean, there's no question that the country is more race conscious than it was when I was a kid. I thought we were moving away. I hate segregation.
Clarence Thomas said that and got demonized last week.
But it's just factually true. We went from my kids, I have four children, and they learn all about segregation. In fact, it's one of the few things I learned about in school. And how horrible it was. And I agree with them completely. The idea that the federal government would take sides based on race is immoral and horrifying. And I always want to say them, but I never do because I don't want to upset them because they're too young. We do that now. The federal government takes sides and hands out spoils based on your skin color. It hasn't changed. In fact, it's become even more entrenched. What was once a tradition in the South and the law in southern states is now national under the rubric of diversity. Here's the problem with it. Not only is it unfair, it also creates undue ethnic awareness, which you don't want, and it's going to create ethnic politics. And the problem with ethnic politics is it's inherently unreasonable. People hate each other. If you
but that's Democrat big city politics where they break everybody. The Romans 2,000 years
exactly.
ago controlled Rome when it broke into ethnic groups. We're just going back to the Great
Game. Here's why you don't want it. Every other country has it. We've never had it. If you and I disagree on an issue, we can be mad at each other, but the issues get resolved, like they change, and we can become friends again. If we disagree on ethnic grounds, if we dislike each other because we're of different ethnicities, that never changes. Ethnicity is immutable.
And it doesn't make it about actual issues. It makes it about skin color.
And people become, by definition, unreasonable, irrational, in some cases violent, over ethnic division. And you really want to downplay the importance of race and ethnicity. And we are accentuating it with this.
Oh, Martin Luther King said, make it about what somebody does, what they stand for, not about what color they are.
I'm just saying they're playing with fire. I'm not even making a moral case here. I could, because it is immoral, but leave that aside. An atheist could agree that it is dangerous to fuel this fire. It can get out of control. There isn't a...
Oh, you're right. Race stuff is like a religion.
Oh, man, but you don't want to mess with it. Because people, it just can flare up. I've traveled to a lot of countries and covered a lot of conflict around the world. And the one thing almost every place I've ever been has in common, at its core, the conflict is an ethnic conflict. That is the case in Iraq, Sunni, Kurd, Shia. They hate each other not because of what they believe, but because of who they are. We don't want that.
Same thing in Egypt?
Exactly. Same
thing in Ukraine. It's Catholic, Orthodox.
It's also Russian-Ukrainian. That's why you're seeing what's happening in Crimea. Crimea is 70% Russia. Ethnic Russians, who are different from ethnic Ukrainians. The distinction seems minor to us. It's not minor to them. It's central to them.
Well, that's right. And plus, the Ukrainians ran into Russia during World War II and killed a bunch of Russians. Then vice versa, the Russians came in and killed them.
Yeah, and Stalin starved half of Ukraine in 1938, the biggest famine in human history. So, like, there's a lot that we don't perceive because to us, everyone's the same. They're all foreigners. But no, they break down along ethnic lines. You don't want that here. And we're accelerating it.
I want to ask you when we come back. Tucker Carlson is with us at thedailycaller.com. You see his news featured at Infowars.com, other big sites like drudgereport.com. I want to ask you when we come back, though, where you see our future straight ahead. And I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. You've got the 2016 bombshell. I mean, is it true that she's ill and is going to pull out, or they just know she's so unpopular they're going to claim for now that she's ill? And we're also going to look at a whole bunch of other issues, the imperial presidency, the future of the media.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formula. Fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalist by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Liars, liars, liars. You've been lied to a lot. You can't make money in today's market, or the market's too risky. Not true. At least not the way I do it, $100 at a time. I'm Anthony Lowell, inventor of the low-risk trading system, and I'm killing the market right now. I often make $1,000 a day, never risking more than $100. I'm so confident you can make money my way that I'll give you my complete $1,000 system absolutely free.
I was afraid of the markets. Not anymore.
I'm not rich, but I risked $100, and it worked.
To me, this is the most sensible, safe way to make money.
This is a proven, low-risk way to make money, and I want to give it to you free.
Visit freesystem101.com. The first 500 visitors to freesystem101.com will receive Making Money in a Bad Economy. That's freesystem101.com. Don't miss this opportunity. It's free. freesystem101.com. Please read the full risk disclosure on the free membership site.
The number one secret to having great health and long life is having high levels of glutathione. This master antioxidant is required by your body to stop free radicals, keep cells young, remove chemical and heavy metal toxins, support immunity, support liver functions, stop inflammation, and much more. The results of optimal levels of glutathione in your body are more mental and physical energy, stronger immune system, greater endurance, and more. Do you know the number one secret superfood that helps increase your glutathione levels up to 64% or more? It's unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. This health food is amazing in its ability to do so much for virtually everyone. Introducing One World Whey, an industry-first unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we got 30 minutes left with the head of the DailyCaller.com, Tucker Carlson. He's also one of the main hosts on Fox News. You can catch him there with his commentary and also doing the news on the weekends. And, of course, he's been on CNN. He's been on MSNBC, you name it, and he's here with us right now. Of course, he does not have the customary bow tie. Why did you get rid of the bow tie?
I joined the mainstream, Alex. I'm just like everyone else. No, if you wear a bow tie, it's like a middle finger around your neck. You're just inviting scorn and ridicule.
Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I don't mind scorn and ridicule, but I work in New York and a lot every week, so I have to walk through Penn Station. And the number of people screaming the F word at me, it wore me down after a while. So I just gave in and became conventional.
Well, you got told off for wearing a bow tie?
Literally every day. The people will scream obscenities at you. If you wear a bow, just try it. Wear a bow tie for a week. Just walk down, you know, go to down anywhere in Texas, wear a bow tie.
But see, I don't wear a bow tie. I have 50 calibers, just weapons laying around.
Well, you're heavily armed, so no one's going to yell at you. But I'm not.
No. We just like to openly have our guns. kind of like the socialists openly say your kids belong to us. We're going to take over and take your guns. We just say, oh, yeah, here are our guns, to flaunt them in their face to try to acclimate them to liberty.
I love that about Texas. I grew up with guns. I grew up hunting from a really young age. And I don't know anybody who's safer around guns and more responsible with guns than people who grew up around guns.
Well, you are like a Uber man, like Putin or something, coming down to Texas just to hunt.
Of course. I absolutely love Texas. If I could make a living here, I would live here. My kids, we have relatives in Texas, and two of my kids were on their ranch last week, and they came back. We're moving to Texas. You know, everyone's nice. The food is great. You can shoot. You can fish. I mean, it's fantastic.
Well, we need you because all the socialist Democrats from the cities they've imploded, like Los Angeles, are moving here.
I know.
And they're literally turning Austin into California.
Well, this is what happened to Vermont. This is what happened to Maine. It's what happened to New Hampshire. I mean, you had these kind of sturdy, independent states that were flooded by refugees from states they destroyed, like New York and Massachusetts. And then they spread the virus, you know, to the pristine states, which are now kind of depressing little.
And that's not rhetoric. They literally do it.
Put up a wall, baby. I'm sure I gave that advice to friends of mine in New Hampshire, in Manchester, New Hampshire, 15 years ago. But now it's too late. Now New Hampshire is moving in that direction. Vermont is like, you know, Bulgaria. I mean, it's unbelievable. Vermont was always a small government. I don't know, right winger. It wasn't ever right wing, but it was always, you know, pro Second Amendment. Get out of my business. You know, I'm doing what I do. You can do what you do. We're not going to bother each other kind of state. And now it's this overweening nanny state run by super annoying people from other places.
And they come like locusts from the area they've already wrecked.
And they're aggressive. They're totally in your face. Like, I have a lot of problems trying to impose my views on other people. Like, I don't even, with my kids, I don't lecture my kids at the table. I don't lecture people at, you know, my kids' school. I don't bother.
Oh, no, they will come up and lecture my wife that we've got too many children.
Oh, no, literally. They are relentless and totally without shame.
They call it nudging. It's like pecking like a hen.
There's, to me, a huge separation between my personal life and politics. I don't want to obsess over politics. I want to chase my wife around the house in an amorous way. I want to play with my kids. I want to have a normal life. Politics is worth getting involved in order to create the space for a normal life.
That's right. You have to fight them or they'll take over.
Exactly. But they never stop. Ever. They never stop with their political views. And when they come to your state, I'm talking about liberals here, you know, some of them are nice, but I mean, they just want to control you. And I don't want to be controlled. And nor do I want to control other people. I hate telling other people what to do. I really do.
Now, that's the worst part of my job. It's not fun. But people that love liberty don't want to be the boss. People that are into control, they want to be boss.
100%. And that's one of the reasons why it's an asymmetrical battle. That in the end, the authoritarians have the advantage because they are willing to break eggs to make omelets, you know, whereas people like me aren't.
Looking at Piers Morgan, he never really imploded because he took over Larry King's slot that was already going down, and it went from 2 million viewers down to 500,000 viewers down to 400,000 viewers, and the lecturing and all of it. But I see that as a bellwether of a rejection of globalism, a rejection of the nanny state lecturing people that he is so hated. I mean, when I blew up at him, they put that on every channel in the country, and it just re-aired this week again. I didn't give myself credit for it, but a lot of mainstream media gave me credit for kind of being the bellwether of the straw that broke the camel's back of Piers Morgan, I guess, being sent packing back to England. What is your take on him and the whole phenomenon of, like, he was Obama or something? They put everything behind him, promoted him, gave him every big guest, still fell right on his face.
The dogs won't eat the dog food, as they say in the political business. You can roll out the biggest ad campaign ever, but if they won't eat it, you're not selling any. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, I think in the end, he just didn't put on a very interesting or appealing show. I think the gun control stuff was alienating to a lot of people because it should, even if people agreed with him, he clearly didn't understand America. He didn't understand that guns for Americans are not just some affectation, not just some, you know, symbol. They are integral to our country, to our freedom.
Earlier you said that it's baked in.
It's baked into the cake that is America, absolutely. And he didn't get that. And boy, was he arrogant. Really, really arrogant. I loved your exchange with him. I have to say I was rooting for you.
Well, thank you. But I mean, that should have been an example for him, that for 2 weeks he had a rating spike after that because there was something real on there, not just a bunch of pinheaded perseveration.
Well, and Piers Morgan,
you know, was no Larry King. I worked at CNN for five or six years when Larry King was there, and people always said, Larry King's stupid. Really? I knew Larry King pretty well. Not stupid at all. One thing about Larry King, he actually listened to other people. He'd have on guests. He would ask them interesting, evocative questions.
Well, if you heard his radio show back in the day, and I've actually gone in online and heard some of the old shows, he's really smart.
He's really smart, and he was good at getting interesting stuff. It's like Howard Stern. One of the great interviewers ever. I thought you had a great interview on that, on his show.
No, he is good.
He gets the cool stuff out from his guest, whereas Piers Morgan, I always felt, was just interested in talking about himself and his friends and his stupid opinions and had this obnoxious accent. I love the idea of him being sent back to cold, fog-covered, unhappy, pasty white England.
I would feel weird if I lived in England and had a primetime TV show lecturing them all day, telling them that they, you know, had bad dental work or something.
Becoming an anti-tea activist or attacking, you know, the Queen or something. It's not your country, you know?
Well, that's what Jay Leno told him behind the scenes, because I was told by Jay's people. He said, look, you stop lecturing people about our politics. It's not going to work. You're going to be...
Jay Leno's a good guy. I worked at MSNBC for 4 years, and I did something obnoxious on, well, many things obnoxious on my show. And one time Jay Leno came to my office and said, you know, we're not great friends or anything, but he said, I just want to give you a piece of advice. What you just did was, you shouldn't have done that. You look like a jerk. And I said, why are you telling me this? He said, because I like you, and I'm just giving you advice. And he was right. That guy's a nice guy who goes out of his way to...
Yeah, I was told he did that to Piers Morgan.
Yes, I'm sure he did, because he's that kind of person. And Piers Morgan, too, where I was smart enough to take Jay Leno's advice. I think you get advice from someone who's... Survived.
You know, the word is they got rid of him because he did those Obama jokes. Sorry,
I'm sure that's exactly right. I mean, look... What other... I don't understand the reasoning. I mean, again, this is like, he's a rich guy, he'll be totally fine, whatever, he'll wind up somewhere else. But think about this. NBC fired him because he was first in his time slot? Have you ever heard... Twice they fired him, and both times he was number one in his time slot. When does that happen in broadcasting?
They tried to bury him, and then it worked still, so they just got rid of it.
Because he's unpopular with people in, you know, New York and L.A., but everyone else seemed to like him. I like Jay Leno. Anyway, it tells you that it's not a meritocracy. I mean, you think that TV rewards people who are the most successful, but look at Piers Morgan, the fact that he hung on.
That's where I was going, is that it shows how rigged it is. They care about the politics and the trillions they'll control. It isn't even about the ratings, but then they still lose the audience. That's what the establishment doesn't get.
Yes.
I mean, when they program the people they put, and I'm no genius, but it's unwatchable now what's on CNN and MSNBC. Yes. Dylan Radigan has the high time slot because he's ranting and raving about both parties being bad, so they don't renew his contract. They don't want real people in there.
I don't know what the hell they want. I mean, presumably they want to succeed. They have shareholders who are demanding profits. You would think they would make wise market-based decisions, but they don't. They paid Christiane Amanpour, the host of the Sunday show on ABC. I don't think her husband wants to listen to her talk, much less viewers.
It's some kind of lecturing vampire.
It was bizarre. It was bizarre. And they had a... They should have... Jake Tapper would have been great. No. They put Christiane Amanpour because she was friends with the wife of the president of the network. I mean, that's not a smart way to make...
No, it shows it's total elite cliques that are disconnected, like Marie Antoinette from... We talked about Drudge in this great taped interview that's going to air in a couple days on the Nightly News. But getting back to that, I remember him a decade ago on C-SPAN. Well, I mean, you were talking about it, saying you're all gone, you're not going to have jobs, it's over. And of course, he's been proven right now.
Completely. I sat there in the audience in 1998 at the National Press Club as he told the reporters assembled that they were working for dying news organizations. And by the way, they laughed at him because at the time, the Washington Post had a flat-out monopoly, and so did all the papers. LA Times, they were awash in cash. Their reporters are flying first class on assignment.
Why is Drudge such a visionary?
Drudge is a visionary because he follows his own instincts. There's no board of directors at Drudge. If Drudge thinks it's interesting and thinks his readers will think it's interesting, he puts it up and he does it instantly. And he has an unerring sense, an unerring instinct for things that are interesting. He has a mix. Drudge takes his page. It's technology from 20 years ago, and it's still the most compelling thing on the internet because he takes it and he tells a story with other people's headlines. It's brilliant. If you want to know Drudge's view of America, read the Drudge Report every day. Don't even click on a headline. Just read the headline.
And it gives you a gestalt, a snapshot of what's going on.
Exactly. And it's Drudge's some of his obsessions, and I think it's fair to call them that, things he's really interested in. he's been interested in for 20 years, but only now seem relevant. For instance, weather. Drudge was always focused on the weather. I never cared about the weather. All of a sudden, weather is like something that we're really concerned about.
NSA spying.
NSA spying, exactly. The privacy stuff. People 15 years ago said, boy, that Drudge is a little bit paranoid about the government spying on us. Well, it turns out he was prescient, not paranoid. He was absolutely right.
Well, listen, 15 years ago, I had stickers over my laptop. People, you know, the family would laugh at me, and now it comes out. We know.
Open the camera on your laptop?
Absolutely. Government in the U.S. is taking millions of shots a year without warrants. Schools are watching kids at home with them. I mean, of course there's going to be a power grab by the authoritarians.
Well, it's scary, and technology definitely empowers the people who control it. And if the U.S. government controls technology, then they have an awful lot of
power. If they get away with it, I mean, take the Austin police chief. I should have brought this up. He was in here last Friday, or no, I guess it's Monday. It was a few days ago, whatever. The point is that he now, it's a federal initiative. They want to dial all the private security cameras in so the police can look at them. Well, pretty soon it's going to be mandatory.
See, I'm really bothered by that, intensely bothered, because I don't care what the intent is. I mean, presumably the intent is to stop bad people and protect the rest of us. But in practice, large organizations almost can never resist the inherent temptation to abuse their power. The more power you amass, the greater the temptation to abuse that power. And you see this in every big organization, whether it's the church, whether it's universities, and most profoundly of all, the biggest organization in human history, the federal government of the United States. And so giving them that power, even if it's, you know, for presumably noble ends, is a real risk. I think it's really unwise. The founders understood you want to take power and make it diffuse. You want to vest some with this guy, some with that guy, some with the third guy, and make sure that, you know, it's the same principle. You give, you know, it takes three keys to open a safe. You're not going to get any theft if you have that. But if you have one guy holding the key to the safe, he can loot the safe.
And generally it will end up happening, because power corrupts and absolute power tends to corrupt absolutely.
Sure, words have never been spoken. It's a cliche for a reason.
Here's an article from yesterday, Infowars.com. You read it here first. Government spies on innocent people via webcams, laptops, Xbox. Latest Snowden leak confirmed story Infowars broke 8 years ago. We had the patents and Google bragging that they were watching people over their webcams. And then, like, say they heard a dog barking, they would have a dog food ad pop up. And then it turns out that they're listening, and it's just absolutely incredible.
You just wonder, like, if I was a paranoid schizophrenic, I mean, there are people who, you know, who are unduly paranoid.
Oh, there are obviously people who think the sun is falling.
Right. They read this? I mean, they must be ready to jump off a bridge. I mean, it's like, I am very unparanoid by temperament completely. I have very high self-esteem, so I assume everyone likes me. I assume all is well. I'm just an optimist by nature. It's just genetic. It's built in. Nothing I did. Even I feel a little bit watched, knowing all this.
Well, that's the Panopticon, full cult's Panopticon, because even though they're not really watching all the time, or they can't even control the data, it makes you feel like you're being watched, so you self-censor.
But it bothers me that more Americans aren't upset about it. When I was there, I'll never forget being on the set when, at Fox, reporting out this NSA story as it first broke, the Snowden story, and feeling, you know, mixed feelings about it, but feeling horrified by the fact that the NSA could read my email and capture my texts and listen to my phone calls. I was shocked by how few people shared my view of this.
Oh, it's like knowing your neighbor every day is looking at your window.
But I'm really bothered by that. Why aren't more people bothered? I'm starting to feel like a crazy person. Am I crazy? I don't know. I don't think I am.
But the issue is, it's not that we have something to hide. We draw the blinds at night for privacy. But you have to have privacy to have basic liberty.
Of course. There is no freedom without privacy. And the idea, I love it when people say things like, well, if you have nothing to hide, then why does it bother you? Really, can I have the password to your email? Of course you're not going to give me the password to your email, because privacy is a basic human need. And if you violate it, you've dehumanized me.
Well, the New York Times, as you know, you're absolutely right, just came out a few months ago talking to the New York Observer. So they have to go to kind of the alternative media of the newspapers even get heard. And they interviewed over 30 people, and they all said, no, quote, we're not relevant. We cannot get our stories picked up or heard. Because that's what you want in media, is to put your new breaking story out and then have others pick it up and then affect the culture in a good way. I wear my bias of a libertarian patriot openly and naked, you know, my bias towards truth. But I can put stories out every day that end up becoming a national news story, even if a great site like DrudgeReport.com doesn't pick it up. But what must it be like for the New York Times now to have little ragtag sites like mine becoming more relevant than them because they're so discredited. How long can the power structure keep moving forward when the gray lady is dead?
Well, it's increasingly a niche publication, like so many. So
wannabe trendies that think
right. I mean, the New York Times has a lot of, I think, influence from, say, 101st Street all the way down to Times Square on the West Side, right? I mean, so a certain kind of Manhattan dweller pays attention to the New York Times, and nobody else does increasingly. And the reason nobody else does is because they don't try hard enough to be straight. They really don't. They don't make an effort. They obsess over their – I mean, I'm not anti-gay in the slightest, but I don't think that every single development on gay marriage is the most important thing. And I've always been for gay marriage, but I just don't think –
Well, exactly. Like, Ukraine's really important, but I told my reporters, my God, 80% of our articles have to be about Ukraine.
Well, exactly.
At a certain point, I'm getting sick of Ukraine.
But Ukraine might be a little bit more important
than my start of war.
Than the latest development on gay marriage. There is not a...
No, exactly.
Bye. They are obsessed, and at some point, you don't take them seriously.
Well, listen, I used to never even think about it and didn't dare. I'm getting sick of it, that I can't turn on any children's programming without it being...
I couldn't agree more.
I am very offended.
Just back off and be tolerant. Don't be in my face. I don't know. Let people have their own views. I think you should just... respect other people.
You mean be liberal.
To disagree.
Because they're not really liberals.
At all. They're
Thomas Jefferson was a liberal. Exactly. I think that's what brings these people down, is pointing out that they are, listen, we're going to come back and we're going to smoke the 9/11 inside job pipe on air. We're going to smoke the crack together. Straight ahead with Tucker Carlson. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Huge Mountain House Sale at Emergency Essentials. Right now, get 25% off every can. Go to BePrepared.com for the guaranteed lowest price you'll find anywhere. Mountain House freeze-dried meals are famous for their proven 25-year shelf life, delicious flavors, and easy preparation. This week only, save 25% on over 30 Mountain House varieties. For the best selection, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Renaissance Charge, have you ever wondered if you can make your car run on 100% electric power for free? Is it now possible? How about a device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this device could also restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? The Renaissance Charge cutting-edge alternative energy Tesla technology. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, 208-772-4514.
For thousands of years, silver has been used as both a medicine and a preservative. But not all silver is equal. Supernatural Silver is an amazing new technology that has been clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. Supernatural Silver resonates at the same frequency as germicidal light used in labs to kill bacteria and viruses. Supernatural Silver is a broad-spectrum microbial that creates no resistance and does not harm beneficial bacteria, making it ideal for daily use. It can be used internally as well as topically and is highly effective against bacterias, viruses, molds, and yeast. Supernatural Silver liquid and gel are perfect for on-the-go or emergency preparedness and can provide protection at home, school, or work. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com and remember the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. That's SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
got this little 6-minute segment and a 5-minute segment, and then Tucker's got to go because he needs to go hunting. Maybe bear shirted out there with Putin. He'll like kill a bear in Texas, have it over his...
Siberian tiger shooting, actually, today.
Siberian tiger shooting today. No, I need to do more of that. I really do go hunting and fishing and all that, but I need to like do it like Putin, where I've got the...
Totally.
Got the shirt off and everything. What do you think of Putin? He is really a character.
Putin's out of control. Putin is hilarious. I mean, I think Putin's a thoroughly bad guy and an autocrat, and I'm glad I don't live in a world controlled by Putin, but as a media figure, I think he's one of the most amusing people ever, and you can never underestimate the value of, like, the personal narrative, the fact that, you know, he's out there shooting guns with hot girls. Like, people love that.
He's like a James Bond villain.
No, he really is. He's absolutely a James Bond villain.
And then compared to a totally fake Harvard socialist like Obama, it's like you kind of wish our president was cooler.
Well, and also believed in gender differences. I mean, there actually are differences.
He's always in race cars, hot women.
And women, exactly.
Right. He's more John Wayne than Obama.
He's completely. And Obama's very much like, you know, using a non-specific gender pronouns kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Total mind control. Hey, listen, I said we're going to. My view is governments allow terrorists to attack. They've been caught financing them. They're financing Al-Qaeda in Syria. I'm not saying Dick Cheney had the plunger like Wile E. Coyote blowing up the towers.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't buy that the U.S. government allowed terrorists to attack. I'm open-minded. Trust me, I wouldn't have thought the...
Well, they sure used it to take our liberties.
They've definitely used it to take our liberties, without question. I just don't think that they allowed it. And I think, knowing a lot... I live in D.C. I know a lot of people in the U.S. government. I disagree with what they do, but I think... with a lot of what they do, but I think, you know, they wouldn't have stood for that.
Let me play you a clip of BBC 24, 25 minutes before... Tower 7, the Solomon Brothers building, fell, saying that it had already fallen. Let me play that clip for you right now. Go ahead and...
As you can see behind me, the Trade Center appears to be still burning. We see these...
And then you can see it right there. That's Building 7 right there.
Right.
And then she goes on... to talk about that, and I mean, I showed you that earlier.
Clouds of smoke and ash, and we know that behind that there's an empty piece of what was a very familiar New York skyline, a symbol of the financial prosperity of this city, but completely disappeared now, and New York is still unable to take on board what has happened to them today.
Presumably there were very few people in the Solomon building when it collapsed. I mean, there were, I suppose, fears.
The two twin towers of the World Trade
Center. All right, now we're going to show you some of the B-roll up close to Building 7 falling. Radio listeners can just search Building 7 collapse. We'll roll some of that B-roll now. I mean, what about Building 7? I heard CBS radio at 4:30 in the afternoon, 5:30 Eastern, when I was driving to get a pizza, because I've been on air all day that day doing commentary on other shows. I heard them say the government was going to bring it down to protect the other buildings. And then later we actually found those tapes on CNN where they said, get back, we're bringing down 7. And then I talked to the deputy emergency manager who said they were told it was going to be blown up. He died 2 weeks after I interviewed him.
Yeah, I mean, then, you know, I have no idea what happened to Building 7. I think that the U.S. government didn't allow the hijackers to fly those planes into the Trade Center or the Pentagon or Shanks.
You know who was in Building 7?
No.
The CIA.
Right.
FBI?
I did know.
That was the State Emergency Command Center.
I did. And there were also massive gold reserves in the basement and all that, apparently. But
what about criminal elements in the government working with the Saudi Arabians?
If any of those ever emerge, if there's ever a first-person account of that, you know, I will...
C.B.L. Edmonds.
I will keep an open mind.
You know about C.B.L. Edmonds?
No, but the guys who set who did the demo team, supposedly, like, where are they? When they emerge, I'll interview them.
Well, they're with Whitman, Price, and Haddad, basking in the Maui sun. Their debt to society paid in full.
With D.B. Cooper.
The running man.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table, and the results are on record. Reports documented a 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find some
Survival Shield Nascent Iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield Nascent Iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.